John 5:41 through 47. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe, since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?
Good morning. This week we come to the final statements in John chapter 5. Jesus has been defending his honor in front of the Pharisees and others who have gathered. Today we'll look at these final seven verses of Jesus' very long discourse, which outlines his conflict with the religious leaders of the day. Every verse in this passage has the word "not" in it. I'm just going to read it again. And like last week, this was a difficult passage. I don't know if it's as difficult as last week's, but this week I want you to hear the word "not," and then we'll pray and then we'll start. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe, since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this scripture, and thank you, Lord, that sometimes there are difficult passages where we learn just what we don't do well and just what you expect from us. And Lord, we learn that we can't do it. But Lord, we also learn that you did it and that you call us to come to you, to partake in your spirit and to partake in the divine nature and to be like you in doing it, empowered by your Holy Spirit. May these words and the meditation here this morning bless you and bless those who hear it. Jesus does give us good news today, okay? So don't get too down, all right? Jesus gives us good news, and that's coming at the end. With the advent of computers and the digital age, personal computing, and now mobile computing, and the ability that that provides to network with other humans and create networks of human interaction across global platforms, I think we could all argue, I argue, that there is no other place in history or moment in history where human activity is more heightened and aware than on social media. I want you to take a look at this video. I'm going to talk through the video as it plays, but it has some really interesting stats. Did you know? In 2020, the average person will have more conversations with robots, than their spouse. Over 50% of the world population is under 30 years old. And today's college students have never licked a postage stamp. It's pretty unreal, huh? Maybe they did because their parents made them. If the world were countries, Facebook would be the largest country, followed by YouTube and Linux and WhatsApp. One in three would rather give up sex than their phone. Wow. Two in three people get their news from where? Social media. People will soon trust Amazon more than their bank. 93% of buying decisions are influenced by social media. And what happens in Vegas stays on YouTube. I like that one. There's Adele singing. But 80% of our consumption on the internet is video. Is video. And the goldfish has a longer attention span than us humans. More people own a mobile device than a toothbrush. One in three marriages start online, and they actually last longer. Studies have shown. We don't have a choice whether to digitally evolve or transform. The choice is that we have, this author says, is how well we're going to do it. LinkedIn, which is a business network, every second two people join, which is like the entire enrollment of all the Ivy Leagues joining in a single day. And LinkedIn, the business network, allows teens to sign up now too. The number one used hashtag is hashtag love. And they say, welcome to the blue sky age. So really interesting videos with some really interesting statistics. One of the most endearing things about the internet is that we can find stuff like this, right? But who doesn't want to watch squirrels with laser guns, right? Those are some of the other things we can find. Or how about whether the dress is blue or black or gold? You guys remember that one, right? Nowhere in the world has there ever been a way to so easily look at what human beings hashtag love, right? If you look at that hashtag love, just take a look. What are people loving these days? You'll find out right away. You'll see the top posts. In short, the internet, which is a network of human interactions categorized and digitized and compiled for us, reveals our desires. It reveals our loves. It is clear from the video that what humans desire most is, well, other human beings. Looking at other human beings' lives. Well, looking at or checking up on them or obsessing over or even glorifying those lives. And worshiping even other human beings. Jesus says, I do not accept glory from human beings. And I've often puzzled over this verse. This verse stuck out to me when, many years ago. I was studying just the book of John, and this verse just grabbed me. And I just, what is it about that verse that is so interesting? That statement, I do not accept glory from human beings. Of course, somebody made some kind of, you know, lots of out on the internet, a lot of memes happening and a lot of things that Jesus potentially would do. What would Jesus do in our day of media, social media and this world? Jesus on Twitter. So he has 12 followers so far. And he's pretty excited about his 12 followers. But what does it mean for Jesus to say that he accepts glory? This word to receive or to accept or to take glory from anthropos, humans. I think at baseline, Jesus is saying, I don't derive my worth, who I am, or what I do from what other humans think or what other humans beings give credence to. I don't give credence to what they value either. Humans have the ability, God-given ability, to give and receive, to reflect glory, God's love, on their own terms. And the question is, what or who will get glory from you? What or who do you give glory to? Now that word glory means weight. It means a thick cloud in the Old Testament. When God showed up, it was a thick cloud. It was a mountain smoking with lightning and thunder. Glory was seen off the face of Moses as he descended from that mountain. Eventually, glory became something more like akin to money. If you glory over someone or glorify someone else, you're bringing a big sacrifice. You're bringing a bull. You're not just bringing a tiny offering. You're bringing something of weight, of significance, out of value. N.T. Wright, a theologian, says that we are like mirrors. We are like mirrors who reflect the glory of God. And we see this clearly, that mirror aspect in social media. We see what we reflect is what we love, and what we love is what we reflect. So there are the followers of Jesus, the 12. And he is calling us to follow him as well. And as Sam Lacey said last week, all they can see now, those Pharisees in this text, all they can see is procedure. Remember, we started, "I do not accept glory from human beings." Why not, Jesus? Why don't you? "But I know you. You don't have the love of God in your hearts." And of course, Jesus is saying that on purpose, because he just healed a man after sitting by a pool for 38 years. He now, that man, walks and carries the mat that once carried him all those years. It's a miracle. It's amazing. But what do the Pharisees see? Do the Pharisees see the work of God, or do they see Jesus, the Sabbath rule breaker? And Jesus says to the man, "Stop sinning, or something else worse will happen to you." I suggested one way to interpret that is that Jesus is caring for the man, saying, "Okay, stop walking around with your mat now, because something worse could happen to you. You could be thrown in prison. You could be beaten for this breaking of the law. Okay, stop. So leave this place, okay?" All these Pharisees see is procedure. And more procedure doesn't lead to more justice or love. After all, justice is what love looks like in public. Jesus says, "I know you. I know you because I know human beings." Humans have a glory problem. Humans have a glory problem. Now, something that we got to do with this text in John, because they're all in the not, all in the negative, we got to see broader. We got to look broader into the biblical witness. And today we're going to get help from the book of Romans. You probably know this verse from Romans 3:23. "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's right. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Now back up and go to chapter 1:23. They, human beings, exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being. Does that seem familiar to you, exchanging images for other images in today's social media climate? What do we do today that exchanges the glory of the immortal God for images that resemble mortal humans? Mortal humans, you know, those frail ones, those ones that are born through trauma, those that are born who are weak, who grow up. They grow up and they get acne, they get wrinkles, they get freckles, they put on a few pounds, those mortals who lose their hair, lose their hearing, lose their eyesight, have back problems, heart issues, lung issues, they get cancer, they get disease, and they die. Those mortals that God loves, that God made in his image, do we exchange that image for something else? Here's an example of what Photoshop can do. And most images you see of people today, anywhere, are doctored, are fixed up, are cleansed out. All the imperfections are made. And hopefully you can see on the screen a little bit about what I'm talking about. Here are some more examples from pop culture. There you see, I think that's maybe Justin Bieber on the left. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. That's Angelina Jolie. And hey, if you don't have teeth, you could just add them. Most of the images we see on TV, most of the images we see on social media are doctored. Let me show you one more thing. I thought this post was really insightful. I'll read this. So you see the two pictures, and you can notice the difference between her skin tone and her skin color. She says, "Wow, Samsung, when you get a brand new phone and go to take a selfie and realize that the default setting on the front camera is automatically on beauty level 8, which evidently means seriously airbrushed face." This means everyone who gets a new Samsung phone and flicks the front camera on is automatically being told, "Hi, We're Samsung. And we think you look way better when we automatically airbrush your selfies for you. Times eight. Thanks, Samsung Mobile, for the vote of confidence. I think I'll keep my freckles and imperfections, since this is how I look in 3D, and this is how all my friends see me in real life. I hope young girls are buying iPhones instead of Samsungs. Wait, iPhones do this too? There you go. To clarify this, this is the default setting on a phone that our teenagers use, that our elderly citizens use. Everybody uses it, and it's set default to beautify your face. Humans have a glory problem. We have fallen short of that which God has intended. And to make up for it, we enhance the glory of God for something resembling the glory of God. And each of us is the image of God and God's glory. You and I are a composition of God's glory. We are like mirrors reflecting the beauty and goodness of the Creator. Wake up your neighbor and tell them, I am the reflection of the glory of God. See this face? Come on, tell your neighbor. Was that uncomfortable for you? Is this uncomfortable for you? Come on, people. Tell it like it's the truth, because it is. You are made in God's image. You are made in God's image. So we have a problem. We have a glory problem. But Jesus and God in the Old Testament, in the law, has a proposal. Humans have a glory problem, but God has always had a proposal. Here's what he says. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. So the proposal here in the now spun in the positive, accept me and glorify God. Accept me and glorify God is Jesus' proposal. Let's read 44. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Again, the proposal is to both give glory to God and to accept glory from God. That's Jesus' proposal. The proposal seems straightforward. Jesus outlines here, accept me and glorify God. This seems like a very Jewish thing to do. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And the Shema, which means the name, God alone is God. Alone Israel, the God of Israel is alone God. The one God, the one true God. Worship God alone. What we see from this sentence, okay, so if we back up, let's see. Let me go back. Because I think this is important. Jesus makes the connection between accepting glory of human beings, right? I do not accept human glory, but I know you. You don't have the love of God in your hearts. Jesus makes the connection between accepting the glory of God and what is in our hearts. Jesus makes the connection between what is in our hearts and the glory of God. So the proposal seems straightforward. Let me go back through these images here. So the proposal seems straightforward. Jesus outlines here, accept me and glorify God. And when Jesus uses that Allah, that conjunction, but I know you, I know you. He's connecting those ideas. Our glory problem means that we can't do the thing Jesus is asking us to do here. Distorted glory, he says. Let me go back. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another? That's distorted glory. Accepting glory from human beings is not God's glory, not God's word to you. Distorted glory holds us back from believing. Do you see that? How can you believe? How can you believe in God if you don't accept the glory that God wants to give you and share with you? Study after study has shown that social media, especially among younger girls, causes anxiety and feelings of inadequacy. Jesus is saying, don't accept the ones coming in their own name, their own Twitter handle, their own feed. And many people are bullied online, let me add. Accept Jesus who comes in the name of the Father, doing works that his Father is doing. Don't look to others, Jesus says. Do what I do. I don't accept glory from human beings. I don't accept weight, importance from others. I accept it from my Father alone. We humans have a problem. The law of God has a solution, but we can't do it. That's the problem. So we are in a predicament. Okay, do you understand it so far? There's a problem. Jesus makes a proposal. He says, just give me glory and accept the glory that comes from me alone. And we human beings say, okay, I'll try to do that. But then we fail. We fail time and time again. We can't do it. We can't do it. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another? This is just human nature. It's just what I do. I care about what other people say about me. And I can't help but trying to be what that other person wants me to be. And how often do we fail to give God the glory that only belongs to God? Jesus continues, but don't think I'll accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses. Now, Moses is the law. Your accuser is, the law has already told you what is good, oh man, what is right to do, right? Micah has told you that. Moses has told you that. The prophets have told you that. The law tells you over and over again, it is God alone who we are to worship. If you believe Moses, Jesus says, this is so persuasive. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. That's the predicament we're in. We know what to do, but we can't do it. So let's turn to college sports for a second. Not basketball. I'll get there in a second, but football. The national championship game, who watched the national championship game in January, featured the Auburn Tigers versus the Alabama Roll Tide Elephants. I don't know what their mascot is. Is it the Roll Tide? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Crimson. So a tale of two Christian coaches. Both coaches are very outspoken. And Clemson beat up on Alabama really, really bad. 44-16. It was a shock. It was a surprise. And when Clemson's coach came, Dabo Swinney, great coach, great guy, outspoken Christian man. All the glory goes to the good Lord. He's number one. And then coach from the Alabama side, in the post-game report, the responsibility starts with me, and they're pretty good. They're pretty good players. Number five, number eight, ran all over the field on us. So the coach that won gives all the glory to God. And the coach that loses says, it's my fault. And they've got good players. Now, one can imagine if a losing coach says, well, it's God's fault that we lost. I don't think he would have a job for long. All right, to be fair, we're going to compare Dabo Swinney from 2 years ago, okay? They lost to Syracuse. This was a surprise game. They lost by 2 points. It was a tough game. And he says, bottom line, Syracuse just outplayed us and outcoached us. No mention of God. No mention of the glory. No mention of any of that. Now I'm picking on football coaches, okay? I used to play football. I've been a coach before. I have nothing against football coaches, but here you see on display the problem we have with glory, right? The predicament we have. We know what is right. We're supposed to give glory to God in every circumstance, whether we win or lose. But can that coach say, glory to God, we lost? Very rarely do you hear that. And I really look up to Dabo Swinney and coach from Alabama. They are really incredible leaders. They're Christian men, strong Christian men. And they lead those programs well for God's glory. They do. I do believe that. But in these moments when we lose, we don't want to give God back the glory he is due. Romans 6:23. Remember we visited 3:23, 1:23. Now go to 6:23. The wages of sin. The wages of sin, the wages of falling short of that glory is death. Remember, Jesus was talking about mortals, Paul was talking about mortal flesh. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus our Lord. The result of falling short of God's glory is death paid to us, cash, check, credit card, bill in the mail. Our bill's in the mail, people. We're going to die one day. And even our finest examples, our pastors, our leaders, fall short of that glory many times. I know I do. Verse 44, how can you believe since you accept glory from one another? Remember, he's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to those religious leaders. See, you're accepting all sorts of glory. You're accepting all sorts of recognition for the post that you have and the place that you hold in society and the status you have. But you do not seek the glory that comes from God. And Jesus is saying, I'm all about God's work. That's what happened from the very beginning of John. The good news today, despite our failure and despite our predicament, despite that inability to reflect God's glory to the world, God made a plan. God made a plan in Christ. God in Christ has a glory plan. The plan is to give us Christ's glory. To give us glory despite our lack of performance. See, the Christian walk is not about gaining God's love through performing. And the coach, those Christian coaches, they will tell their players, and in fact, I heard Dabo Swinney say this, I don't love you based on your performance. You lost today, I love you unconditionally. That's God's word to us in the grand scheme of salvation history. Listen to the way that Romans 8:18 says this. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. He continues, he says, the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know, he says, that the whole creation has been groaning until in labor pains until now. In verse 8:23 says, and not only the creation will be liberated, not only the creation will be free and given the glory and the freedom of the glory of God, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, Paul speaking to the Romans here, groan inwardly while we await for the adoption, redemption of our bodies. If you don't like your body, just wait. If you don't like how you look, that's a human thing. God knows that, and that's okay. But God wants to heal us. God has a glory plan. He's going to glorify your body. He's going to glorify my body. We're going to raise again. He's going to give us a new body. Listen to what Paul says in verse 30. And those whom he predestined, meaning God had this plan worked out far in advance. He also called those people. Whom he called, he also justified, meaning made right before him. Though they were in sin and though they were desperate and destitute and in darkness, when they called out in faith, God justified them. And their sin was gone. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. God has a glory plan. God will make known then in Romans 9:23. Okay, keep finding the 23. So if you go home tonight, I go home later tonight and read Romans 3:23, 1:23, 6:23, 8:23, 9:23. God will make known the riches of his glory for the objects of mercy which he has prepared beforehand for glory. Jesus cured the madness of human glory. Look at that. We got a bracket. Okay, so our problem goes up against God's proposal. God's proposal wins in the end. And look, God's plan goes up against our predicament. And God's plan wins. And what do we get? The gospel path to glory. Jesus did it. Jesus won. He's the champion of March Madness, okay? These are the final four. This is how it breaks down. The law, Jesus fulfills the law by becoming a human being, by living amongst us, by fulfilling all that it meant to be glory and to be a human being before us. And God's plan healed our predicament. Our opportunity that we have today is to respond to God's plan and begin to walk on the path that God has set for us. Amen? Amen. Let's begin to walk that path today. The plan was the life, the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And it is good news. It is good news that we can respond to today. Amen. Jesus solves our predicament by dying for us, by revealing our sin, and then by giving us His Spirit. What's the path look like? It means to confess. Confess to one another, to confess to God, to repent, to accept the forgiveness that God is offering you today, to begin to walk with others, and then also to step out in faith. That's the path to glory. Jesus did it first, and we are being called now to do it. We had a problem. There was a proposal on the table, but we had a predicament about the proposal. We had a problem with the proposal. The proposal was impossible. But God's plan in Christ solved the predicament and the problem and gave us a path to glory. So, Jesus says He doesn't accept glory from human beings, but He sure does accept followers. Amen? Who wants to follow Jesus today? Hey, maybe you've been following for 30 years. Maybe you've been following for 3 years. Maybe you've been following for 3 days. Maybe you've never taken that step to follow Christ. I implore you, begin that walk. Allow God's glory to shine into your heart, to give you the light that you always wanted in your heart. Allow God to define who you are. Allow God's glory to be implanted into your heart. And allow God's glory to be reflected off of who God made you to be. That's the beautiful thing. We can do nothing to earn it. And we can do nothing about it. God has done it for us. And that's the good news today. Don't allow social media to crush your world this week, okay? Don't allow it to get down. You feel your heart turning inwards and feel like you're less than because of what you see, turn it off. Shut it off. Get rid of it. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, if your phone causes you to sin, turn it off, okay? Turn it off. Turn it off. God has so much more for us in this world than to spend hours a day doing that kind of stuff. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the challenge of this word that says that we are not enough. We are not good enough. But Lord, You came so that You could make us good enough, so that You could display Your glory in us, that You could put Your Spirit inside of us such that we would reflect back to You and to the world Your glory. Lord, we apologize. We sincerely regret our glory problem, that we give glory to things that we shouldn't, and we receive glory in ways that is really trivial. Forgive us for the ways that we waste time when we could be encouraging someone else or ministering. Thank You, Lord, for this witness that even in the midst of a great festival, You went to the pool of Bethesda, where all the invalids and lame and weak hung out. That's where You went. And You did a great work. Lord, help us to see that work of the Father in our lives more and more each day. In Your name we pray. Amen.